What a special time of worship it has been today, as we have seen God moving in our families. We've seen God move in the Gunter family as they bring this new one, a part of a whole generation and generations of stories that have been a part of this church. As we see one family coming up here and being very vulnerable to us and showing us their lives, and saying that they have had one part of their story, but they're looking at the future part of their story being a part of us and presenting themselves to us as an opportunity where God might be calling them. If you've been around me long enough, you know that I love stories. You know, I love to hear them told. I love to share them. I love to hear your stories, to tell me about your life and where you're coming from. I don't think the best storyteller, but I love and appreciate those that are. The thing I like about stories is that stories put flesh on the things that we value. You know, we can say that we believe Jesus is Lord. We believe Jesus saves people. We believe Jesus takes us from our one place and takes us and makes us something different. But it's one thing to say that we believe it, but it's another thing of when we share our story about what God has done and how God has saved us and forgiven us and what we are now compared to what we were. Our testimony is about the sacredness of that story of God working in our lives. I think stories also, when we go through tough times, help us see the working of God. Because oftentimes it is in those stories that we begin to place value into the experiences that we had. You know, sometimes if we've lost a loved one, we aren't really reminded of God's presence in that experience until we've begun to share that story. We often see that, you know, when I visit someone in the hospital and they begin to tell me the story of what got them to that point. And what they'll do as they begin to share that story is they begin to tell about the miracles that have happened to get them there. You know, scripture began as stories. Long before most of these books were ever written, ancient peoples would share the stories of God working in their lives from generation to generation until someone began to put down those words, and eventually God brought them together as the inspired word that we have today. The gospel writer Luke acknowledges this fact at the very beginning of his gospel. He says there were stories of Jesus that were handed down from the eyewitnesses. And then he says this in the first chapter of Luke. He says, "I too decided that after investigating everything from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you can know the truth concerning the things that we have been instructed." I'm going to write these stories down so that you will know the truth about Jesus. Families have sacred stories too, don't we? Diana Garland, I mentioned her last week in her book, Sacred Stories of Ordinary Families, says this. She says, "Stories help families remember what they want to remember. They say to others and to the family itself, this is who we are." Stories give families a sense of identity or a belonging. And storytelling helps us to build families of faith. You see, as we share our sacred stories with one another from generation to generation, we begin to reveal the working and the molding of God in our lives. You see, each generation helps one another to understand who God is. Last week we began this study of the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth is this sacred family story. At its most fundamental level, it shares the story of one family and that family's struggles and its hardships and the ways that God provides for them. Eventually, that story gets a much broader understanding within the people of Israel, and it reveals God's story of blessing and covenant, even among foreign people, even among people different than the Hebrews. And it shows how God's grace always exceeds our understanding. And so for the few moments that we have today, I wanted you and I to have an opportunity to think about the sacred stories that we share. See, sacred stories are the melodies and the rhythms of our families which give meaning and purpose to our shared lives together. These are the stories that express our faith in one another and most importantly about God. So what I want you to do is I want you to take out this sheet of paper that was in your worship guide today. Because this is your opportunity to do something with Mother's Day today. To create a spiritual experience with your family for Mother's Day. It is a gift that your mothers can give you and you can give to your mothers. So I want you to use this sheet of paper to share sacred stories. Maybe today around the dinner table, maybe you're going to be around someone's table and y'all take this out and you begin to share stories. Maybe you're going to call your mother today and you use this to begin to ask some questions, to begin to have your mother share some sacred stories to you. Or maybe you call your children or your grandchildren and say, let me share some things with you. See, I want you to take time today to ask for the story. I want you to take time to listen to the stories, and in the same time, I want you to take time to thank God for how He has worked in marvelous ways within your family. The book of Ruth is going to give us a little bit of a framework to think about this exercise. You see, a love story sits at the very heart of the book of Ruth. This week we're looking at Ruth chapter 2, and we see in Ruth 2 the first awkward meeting between Ruth, the Moabite foreigner who has traveled back to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, Naomi, and Boaz, this rich landowner, who has heard of their arrival, and he now knows about this available woman in town. So here's what happens. Ruth goes to find food for Naomi. And what they do is they go to one of the fields outside of town and they pick up the things, the wheat stalks that are left over after the harvesters have come through with their sheaves and taken them and bundled them and begun to take them to the threshing floor. And so she's picking up the leftovers. This was the practice called gleaning. It was written actually into the Jewish laws as a way of providing for the least amount in society, for the widows and for the orphans. And so while she's in the field, Boaz, the owner of the fields, shows up. And he notices Ruth immediately. She gets his attention. And he wants to know who she is. And then he pulls her aside and he says this in verses 11 through 12 of chapter 2. He says, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of her husband has been fully told to me. They're sharing your story with me. You know the gossip that kind of goes around when new people show up in town. And how you left your father and your mother and your native land, and you came to a people that you did not know before. And then he gives her this blessing. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord. The character of Ruth has already preceded her. And now he makes this intentional effort of beginning to get to know her. And from this point, from this meeting, love begins to sprout. Ruth asked Boaz, why have I found favor in your sight, in verse 10, that you should take notice of me when I'm this foreigner? I mean, think about love stories. Love stories are foundational to the sacred stories of our families. Without some type of love story, none of us would be here, right? Love stories help us to begin families. And they are at the very core, the genesis of who we are. So today I want to invite you at some point today in your family to share a love story. Maybe you shared the love story of your grandparents or great-grandparents, or how did your father first get the attention of your mother? Or maybe even harder, what was it like, parents or grandparents, to watch your son or your daughter to fall in love? What were some of the stories that came out of that? Share a love story with those that you love. The other thing is the provision. Besides love, there are also sacred stories of God's provision. Places where God provides for us when we have been tested or when we've struggled, when we don't know what the future holds. Besides the love story between Ruth and Boaz, we also see that God is providing for Naomi and Ruth through this time. Ruth comes to the field. Not only does Boaz give her an opportunity to collect more food, but he also has her sit down at the table with him. And when she does, verse 14 says that she ate until she was satisfied, and then she had some left over. These women had been starving. They had been at the point of just complete poverty. And here, for the first time in a long time, she has so much food, she has left over. And farther down into the chapter, it actually tells them that she brought food back to Naomi to share because it was such a special occasion. God was providing for her and for her family. And God provides for us as well, doesn't he? Today, let me invite you to share a story of God's provision in your family. Tell a story about how God provided for your family during the Great Depression. Maybe describe ways that you saw God providing for you when your family had to go through some really difficult times. Or maybe even in a very modern place where you haven't even shared the stories before yet. Maybe begin to look back over the past 3 years of the Great Recession and begin to ask, where has God provided for our needs? Those are stories that we can share in the car, on the phone, or on the table. Finally, sacred stories tell the truth of God's protection. Ruth is in this precarious situation. She's an unattached woman. She is out in the fields having to collect food by herself. There's no male to protect her. Naomi begins to describe for her who Boaz is, that he is connected to the Levite laws, that he, as a close relative, one of his roles is to protect her. In verse 20, the NIV describes him as the guardian protector of their family. We'll learn more about that next week in chapter 3. But what his role is to begin to say, I know that your life is vulnerable, but how can we protect you? As our family stories progress, we're reminded of God's protection in our story, in our family history. You know, God, and through the story of Naomi and Ruth, continues to instigate ways that they can be okay, to protect them, to meet their needs. And God is providing protection in our story as well. Maybe today you could describe for your family a time when you did not know the future and you approached it with fear and trembling, but then you watched God protect you or remember. What are some of the circumstances God has helped your family face and survive? What have you learned about family as you've watched God take care of you? Love, provision, protection. These reveal just some of the sacredness of our lives. So today, as our way of responding, let me again ask you, take this home with you. Let me invite you to pull the sheets out on your phone at the dinner table, around the on the phone call with your parents. And when the meal's over, begin to share some of your family stories with one another. And begin to thank God for how he has provided and protected and loved you. It may just be a Mother's Day that you'll never forget. I'm going to invite Bobby up again, and we're going to sing hymn number 285.